Welcome to The Authority File, the academic library podcast from Choice. Choice is a publishing division of the ACRL and the publisher of Choice Reviews and CC Advisor. This episode is brought to you by Human Relations Area Files, or HRAF. I'm Bill Mickey, the host of the podcast and the editorial director at Choice, and for this four-episode series, my guests and I discuss the origin of the Human Relations Area Files as an independent cross-cultural research agency based at Yale and as a publisher of the uniquely developed eHRAF World Cultures and Archaeology databases. We'll also describe some of the new research our guests are currently developing in their respective fields. So for the next couple of episodes, I'll be joined by Dr. Carol Ember, president of HRAF and lead investigator on a five-year NSF-supported interdisciplinary research project to study how natural hazards may have transformed cultures. Also joining us is Dr. Peter Peregrine, HRAF's chairman of the board and Lawrence University professor of anthropology. In this third episode of our series, our guests reveal next steps for the eHRAF platform of products, including upcoming data mining applications, open access initiatives, and new market potential. Okay, so last time we spoke, you mentioned a data mining service that is under development. I'm wondering if you can describe that in a little bit more detail, or at least talk about the potential uses for data mining and why HRAF is particularly suitable for this.
So this is certainly a service we're considering, and it's only right now in a very preliminary stage, but it's exciting, and I will try to describe a little bit of what we think a data mining service might look like.
Okay.
So data mining does not rely on document structure, but it uses computational methods to extract significant terms and relationships between terms from segments of text. Data mining could assist with research discoveries in eHRAF itself. I'll give you an example of a little pilot project we recently worked with, the Harvard Song Project. They're studying songs around the world to help them do some data mining in eHRAF. They were interested in identifying the types of music, of subject matter that were associated with music. So they were able to take all the paragraphs about music and data mine those paragraphs for what kinds of words and concepts were associated with those paragraphs to help them see what people were doing with music in it. And this is a lot of computer manipulation in order to make these relationships clear. And there are many other potential uses we might imagine. For example, suppose you wanted to ask whether male and female ethnographers talk about different things or use different words in their ethnographies. If you take the ethnographies that are written by males and compare them with females and you can do data mining, then you have the potential to use all the terms in this comparison in, I think, a very interesting and effective way.
Okay.
So HRAF is not unique in its size of text because there are many corpuses with lots more material than we have. I'm estimating eHRAF has about 2.5 million paragraphs. But eHRAF is unique in having human-generated subject classification to the paragraph level. And this could be used very profitably in data mining to find associated texts, not just in a random way, but associated with something that humans have said, this is what that paragraph is about. So I think it has great potential. And maybe more importantly, data mining is of interest to computer people as well. It's not simply wouldn't simply be for social scientists.
Right. How did this sort of potential originally get recognized? I mean, were you getting requests or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Harvard Song Project people actually did ask for our assistance. But I want to be careful to say we only agreed to do it with them as a pilot project. We're not in a position to because it took a lot of programming on the part of our vice president for IT to get them to be able to do it. So we're not in a position yet to open it up to other projects, but it's provided a way for us to get started in what we wanted to do anyway.
Okay, excellent. And then, you know, in other sort of development areas, you've been working on some open access initiatives and products over the last few years. And OA, of course, is a pretty big deal in academia. And I'm wondering if you could elaborate on those and what the specific opportunity is for HRAF, and perhaps if there are more OA initiatives planned for the near future.
Sure. So one that I'm particularly proud of is a new database, which is open to the public, called Explaining Human Culture. And this is a database whose aim it is to bring awareness to all the many, many findings we have gotten from worldwide cross-cultural research, and some regional research as well. There have been over 1,000 studies, not necessarily using HRAF, but using cross-cultural samples that have arrived at findings, what patterns, arrived at generalizations about cultural variation and cultural universals. So the point of Explaining Human Culture is for people to be able to search database to find what have we found from cross-cultural research. You can search by author, you can search by topic, you could put in a topic like infancy, you can put in polygyny, you can put in anything that you happen to be looking for. And when you find, it points you to studies. We don't include the studies in this database, but we have, I've worked with interns over the last 4 or 5 years to summarize the studies, and most importantly, to pull out the hypotheses that were tested and whether they were supported or not. And we have, of course, pointers to the studies themselves, whether they could be found. But it opens up the opportunity to say what do we know. And in conjunction with that, we've written about 7 summary modules trying to summarize across these summaries. So there's one on what are hunter-gatherers like, there's one on altered states of consciousness, there's one on there's one on dwellings, there's one on socialization, there's one on childhood, one on adolescence, where across all these various studies, we've tried to summarize what do we know about these topics. The other, we also have on our homepage over 40 suggested teaching exercises for instructors who want to use HRAF in their classes. And most of these are contributed by actual professors and instructors. And basically, we have mounted on our homepage what do they actually do in their class. But in addition, we've got about 10 or 12, and we're working on more, that are more visually engaging, that professors can just tell their students to look at this exercise and tells you how to execute an HRAF search on a number of various topics. And we try to have topics that cover the gamut of different things that people are teaching about. And that's a continuing enterprise, and we hope to put up many more modules and many more exercises. And then I did a little mini visual introducing cross-cultural research course. I call it a course, but it's fairly brief. It has about 8 chapters designed to help people get started if they want to do an actual research project that's cross-cultural. As I said, we're continuing to do new topics, and we will have, this is a little hard to explain unless I explain something else, but we are working on trying to get topical slices out of the hereafter on certain subjects. In the old days, we had a cross-cultural CD that was actually produced in collaboration with originally Silver Platter, and then it became Ovid.
I like how you say the old days there. Actually, yeah. Probably it wasn't that long ago, I'm sure.
It was in the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're trying to do so that broaden our markets and our outreach to instructors is we want to have information on topics for courses. So there are courses, for example, on human sexuality, and we're planning on developing software where people teaching that course could simply look at a sample of 60 societies and read about their practices and attitudes about sexuality. And it would just be that material. It wouldn't be the entire corpus, but it would be specifically targeted for that course. Then we could do one on marriage and the family. We had in the cross-cultural CD, we had one on socialization of children. We had one on religious beliefs and practices. I think we had 10 topics. I'm not remembering them all right now, but we're planning an online version. And the reason I'm bringing it up under open access is our thinking is that we could have smaller versions with obviously less material that would be open to everybody, and larger versions that would be suitable for researchers and for in-depth classroom use.
Okay.
So that's what we have in mind so far. But we are aware of the need to have more open access resources, and that is on our agenda, our longer term agenda.
Excellent. Okay. That's actually a pretty good segue, Peter, into this next question. And I'm wondering if you could talk about a little what perhaps other markets might be available to you guys to target for HRAF and might be reflective of other ways the resource can be used.
Sure. One of the things that I'm particularly interested in, because I teach museum studies as part of my responsibilities here at Queen's University, is reaching out to museums. There are a lot of ethnographic artifacts in museums that curators don't know much about. And even if they know what the artifact is or what it was used for, the broader cultural context or intellectual or ideological context of that artifact may not be familiar to them.
Right.
And so having access to eHRAF for museums could be extremely beneficial because a curator could look up an artifact that they have or material from some culture that they have and get a rich background for understanding and interpreting those materials. I think the same is very true for art and art history, where primitivism is in some parts of art at least a very big interest, and certainly in art history, there's been times where primitivism is central to understanding what's going on. And the ethnographic record provides some ways to better understand and interpret what artists who were doing or engaging in primitivism were working with. A couple of the areas that aren't really necessarily different fields but our new markets are secondary education. It's so important today for students, young people, to understand diversity. And we would really like to have EHRAF become a source for understanding the diversity of humankind, and not just today, but in the past. And we are trying to reach out to high schools to obtain graph, and we're trying to create some subsets that might be easier for high schools to work with. And another area are developing countries. GRAPH represents essentially a whole library of ethnographic and archaeological materials that can help scholars in a lot of ways, as we've already talked about. And we're trying to provide GRAPH at a significant discount to institutions in developing countries, in order to help them essentially gain a big corpus of ethnographic and archaeological literature that's well organized for them to do research with.
Actually, I wanted to jump in here. We are actually planning this fall to launch a scholarship program, which would be asking institutions in developing countries to apply for the scholarship. We're aiming right now for about 15 per year, where that if they tell us how they might plan to use it in research or teaching, it'll be a little bit of a competition, but we are planning to offer to those people who win the competition free access for at least a year.
Okay, excellent. So, Carol, what else is in the works for EHRAF?
All right, so we're really excited. We are developing a new application. We plan the beta should be out this fall. Let me just tell you a few of the main features of it that are going to be new. One, we're going to have searching with relevancy ranking, which we haven't had before. There'll be word clouds to refine searches. The biggest thing about the new application will be we're going to have a personalized notebook where anybody can save their searches in a notebook they can come back to. They can create annotations. You'll be able to search within your saved materials to refine what you're looking for. And these notebooks can actually be used by instructors to create a special notebook for a teaching exercise where they could save material they want students to look at. They could share their notebook with the class, and any student in the class would be able to log on and access it. So we're excited about this beta. And of course, we will need feedback, but the beta will run concurrently with our current application. So for a year or more, people can go to either one. But we think these new features will be appreciated.
Yeah, no, I can say for sure that being able to save a search is a pretty big deal. So that that sounds great. You just heard from Dr. Carol Ember and Dr. Peter Peregrin. This concludes the third of our four-part series on the origin of the Human Relations Area Files as an independent cross-cultural research agency based at Yale and as publisher of the EHRAF World Cultures and Archaeology Databases. This episode was brought to you by HRAF. Be sure to join us next week for our final episode of this series when we talk about the research that our guests have been conducting to investigate the transformative effects natural hazards and disasters have on cultures and how this research could inform public policy.
Obviously, we're facing accelerated climate change, and this is one of the main reasons we wanted to undertake this grant. Basically, we want to understand how societies in the past cope with natural hazards and other resource stressors, to see possibly what cultural features might have been adaptive and allowed people to deal with those environments.
Find all of the episodes of The Authority File on your favorite podcast app or on our website, choice360.org. Just click on the librarianship dropdown. On choice360.org, you'll also find information on Choice's entire product platform, including Choice Reviews, CC Advisor, Choice Webinars, resources for college libraries, our white papers, and a whole lot more. A great way to keep up with The Authority File is to join the Choice Authority File Facebook group, which you can access via the Choice Reviews Facebook page. As a member of the group, you can give us feedback, suggest podcast participants, chat with other listeners, and submit new topic ideas. That's all for this week. Thanks for joining us.